Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying living in what feels like the land of North Dakota, right? It's really hard. I kind of had a fire in the fireplace all day, and it's just been one of those weeks, hadn't it? We've tried really hard to get the parking lot, you know, plowed and parking spaces open, but we just haven't been able to. It keeps freezing back up, as you know. So today we're going to do something a little different. I want to remind you before we do and get into our study this morning that we got really two big events coming up. First Wednesday is coming up, the first Wednesday of February, and that's at 12 noon and 6:30. Man, don't miss that. That's going to be the central heartbeat of our church, and you're going to hear more about First Wednesday. We've been doing that for a year, but we really need to push on the gas with that. And the second thing is coming up with our Men of Franklin. We have music and meats, and that's going to be a huge chance for you fellas to engage your neighbor and bring people that don't know Christ to that. Today, we're going to talk actually about that, engaging your neighbor. You know, Clearview really, if you look at our best years, every year, when we've had our best years, we were in the streets, in the community, and you're going to hear us talking a lot about engaging your neighbors. So today we're going to do something a little different. I didn't want you to have to watch me and just look at me as a talking head. So we're going to do a look at a Bible study out of Luke. And if you got a Bible, go ahead and start turning to the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to go to the Good Samaritan. And we're going to look at what that looks like and how that plays out into the ways of Jesus as we learn who is our neighbor and how do we engage him.
How far should you go to help someone? Is every person you encounter today your personal responsibility? How do you live any type of life carrying out real responsibilities and yet meet real needs at the same time? Those are hard questions. Jesus told a story about what it means to love your neighbor. And in this story, there's one hard question that comes up. Who exactly is my neighbor? It's a great question. And just like you, I'm just one person in an ocean of people. And every one of those people have real needs. I mean, really real needs. Luke 10:25 starts this way. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, Jesus did, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you'll live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, Jesus was asked this question by a lawyer. And it's not your idea of an American lawyer with a Juris Doctorate. This man would have most likely been an expert in the law of Moses. He was baiting Jesus. In other words, what he was saying, to put it loosely, is, "I'm willing to love people, but how far into society does that go?" So Jesus doesn't answer the question with an answer, but rather tells a story, which he so often did. And he puts the weight of the decision back on the lawyer. And this is what Jesus says. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and he bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he kept him on his own beast, or that is, he put him on his own beast, horse, donkey, something like that. And he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper and he said, "Take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I'll repay you." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And so the lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." This story is not complex. Academics and ivory tower theologians have tried to pick this story apart for centuries, drawing all these parallels with allegory, comparing the church to the inn where people go and get well and restored, or Jerusalem representing paradise and then going down to Jericho represents going into a fallen world. Or there's people and theologians over time that have said things, you know, trying to figure out who the Christ figure is in the story, or that Adam, there's an Adam stereotype in the story of a fallen world. And I'm just telling you, I just don't think this story is that complex, because it's simply about the question, who's my neighbor? It's that simple. It's about the kingdom of God and who gets to live in that kingdom. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes this story and it becomes intensely personal. It gets emotionally loud in a hurry. Jesus sets up this story around sworn enemies, Jews and Samaritans. And you can't forget the attorney, the lawyer. He'd have known the Jewish law back and front. He was an interpreter of the Mosaic law. So in that respect, Jesus makes this story nuclear. I mean, it's absurd, really, the way he poses it back to this guy. These people, these Jews and Samaritans, they're not just culturally opposite. Yes, they are, but they're politically opposite. They're opposed in the way they worship. They despise one another in ways many of us will never understand. It brings us back to the question, who is my neighbor? How far does God expect me to go when it comes to actually loving someone? And that goes beyond your Sunday school answers. I mean, these are practical life on the street kind of scenarios. And so Jesus is, he's ushering in this new idea that the kingdom of God, it has no dividing lines. For the lawyer, neighbor is a noun. For Jesus, neighbor is a verb. And Jesus is calling the lawyer to love the outsider. We live in a world today where everybody has a camp. Jesus is saying this to a devout Jewish disciple, if you will, of the Jewish faith. The kingdom of God, he's saying the kingdom of God has no insiders. We're all outsiders. Our position outside of Christ is that we were all outsiders. And we've been given this invitation to come to the party only because we know the Son. The only reason we're insiders is because he chose to invite us. Notice something. The Samaritan did not stop being a Samaritan by helping the Jew who despised him. He was still a Samaritan. You can love the outsiders. You can love the liberal Democrat as your neighbor and be a real friend and not be a liberal Democrat yourself. You can love a Muslim and not embrace their doctrines. You can love people from California that are moving to Franklin. And don't think there's not tension in that, because there is. Look within our own Christian community. We may be the most guilty of all in terms of dividing lines inside the camp. Charismatics draw lines with Baptists. Baptists draw lines with Pentecostals. Reformed Calvinists draw lines with, well, everybody. Sorry, I couldn't. I've got friends that are Reformed Calvinists. Y'all know I'm kidding. Wesleyans, cessationists, Calvinists, Church of Christ, complementarians, verse-by-verse preachers, topical preachers, traditional worship, praise and worship. My gosh, is it just me, or have we all, as modern-day Christians, become nothing but label makers within our own camp? But never forget that people that are on the inside don't realize that other people they think on the outside look at them the same way. I've got friends that grew up in the charismatic and Pentecostal and Assemblies of God world that used to look at Baptists and go, God bless their heart, man, they just don't get it. People on the other side of the political aisle, you don't realize they look at you the same way you look at them. They think you're the outsiders. When the reality is, when it comes to the kingdom of God, we're all on the outside until Jesus puts us on the inside. So who is my neighbor? Anyone and everyone that my life touches. Being a neighbor is not a noun. It is a verb. The Samaritan stopped, not because the guy was a Jew and it would be good branding for the Samaritan community to help an enemy. No, he stopped because he saw a guy beat up, robbed, and needing of help. And to love someone that radically different from you without so much as a thought as to whose camp that person is in, that's what it means to love without limits. What I love about this Samaritan is that he was willing to see the whole thing, not as a problem, but as a person. He was willing to see an interruption to his day as an opportunity from God instead of a toxic explosion of his daily agenda. It's a do unto others way of living, and it never stops. We can never stop being a neighbor because God's love never stops loving all of us.